listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Get Yourself the Job on LA Talk Radio. I am Jennifer K. Hill, and you are joining myself and our fabulous, amazing co-host, Brandon Maslin. Today, we are going to be talking about how do we connect to self-awareness and bring that awareness to understand what is ours to control and what is not ours to control. For example, when you get a difficult review from a boss who you feel like doesn't understand you, how can you walk through that with grace and ease? Now, before we dive into today's show, I do want to take a moment and thank our sponsors, the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including temporary services, payrolling services, and executive search. So thanks so much to our sponsors, and please do keep them in mind for all of your recruitment needs. Now, Brandon, I'm going to turn it over to you. You're kind of the guy for definition and the guy for putting things in a logical order so that we can all follow the show. Maybe talk to us today a little bit about this idea of what is mine and what's not mine to control, and how will learning that help us get the job?
Yeah, I think that one of the interesting things about being self-aware is it is probably one of the things that is most likely to get you not just a job, but to get you your dream job. Mm-hmm. And I mention that because when you're very self-aware, you can put yourself in a position where you're focused on you and what you're actually feeling. And you become aware of more of your effect on others. Now, funny enough, I was just reading this article and I think I suffer from this, but there is something that can be a chronic self-awareness. And the problem with chronic self-awareness is when you're so self-aware that you're overly hypersensitive to your effect on others. And that is a problem too. So there's a problem to be not self-aware at all, and actually you can be over self-aware. And so you really are looking for that sweet spot in the middle where you're aware of who you are and as well as your impact on others. So what does it really boil down to? I find this. People who are self-aware are often aware of how they come off, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, and how they can overcome those weaknesses. And I think that that's really self-awareness. It's not a lack of acknowledgement of what you do. Now, why does that matter for a dream job? Because you can put yourself in situations where you are indexing towards your strengths and your authentic self versus putting yourself in a situation where you're like, oh, I can grind it out and I'm going to prove myself. And usually doesn't work. You know, usually doesn't. You can prove yourself in what you're best at, not what you are not strong at. So that self-awareness is a macro overview. We'll dig in. But I think the most important factor of self-awareness is to not overly concern yourself with your effect on others, but also not be completely unaware. So we're looking for that sweet spot today for people to get their dream jobs and obviously to be the great leaders that they can be.
Yeah, and as a reminder, if you're just tuning into the show for the first time this month, we're focusing during the month of August on emotional intelligence and thus the topic of self-awareness. And in fact, next week we have Dr. Paul White, who's been a favorite guest of ours here, co-founder of Appreciation at Work, who's going to be talking about the role that appreciation plays in our own self-awareness and how to have greater workability in the workplace and in our careers and our jobs. So let's take it back to self-awareness for a minute, Brandon. I gave the example earlier, you know, how does this relate to getting yourself the job? Why does it matter? Because oftentimes we can sabotage. We don't even realize it, but we might possibly go unconscious to how our impact is on the world around us and what it's like to work with us. And one of the greatest ways that we can learn to grow our self-awareness is when we get feedback. Let's say, for example, your boss calls you in for a meeting. I don't know about you, but when I got those emails or calls of blah, blah, blah wants to see you, a chill runs down your spine and you go, hey! Yeah. You know, you're not necessarily setting yourself up for success because you're paralyzed sometimes by fear. And so what I would invite people to do is the next time that you get called in for a meeting where maybe you're going to be given feedback or something didn't go as well as you would have hoped, then be open. Be open and receptive, and don't necessarily say that, oh, this is true, what they're saying, that I might be abrasive to my colleagues or that I don't get things done in a timely manner. Instead, just ask yourself, how could this be true? And I invite you to not take anything personally. One of my favorite books I've ever read, business, personally or otherwise, is a book by Don Miguel Ruiz called The Four Agreements. And in the book, Don discusses these four agreements. You get to keep with your most important of those is to not take anything personally. So for example, if your boss calls you into their office and says, Brandon, you are the most extraordinary coach we've ever worked with in our lives, don't take that personally. And conversely, if your boss calls you into the office and says, oh, Brandon, you really screwed up, people hate working with you, don't take that personally.
Yeah.
Instead, get curious. And in fact, I think here's what Don Miguel Ruiz has to say about not taking anything personally. Nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, of their own dream. When you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. I thought that was worth sharing today.
Absolutely. I mean, and suffering, you know, that ties into Man's Search for Meaning. And I think, you know, one thing when we were talking about that idea earlier, you can't take it too high, you can't take it too low, right? The negative and the positive feedback. I thought about Bob Dylan when we were talking earlier about this. And Bob Dylan long ago stopped going to Grammys, stopped going to award ceremonies of any kind. He's famous for it. And the logic was that if I listen to them when they tell me I'm good, then I have to listen to them when they tell me I'm bad. And Dylan is still making music after all these years. And I have to think one of the reasons that he's had such a prolific career is, and if you listen to Dylan's voice, it's in by no means, he doesn't sound amazing. And I've seen him in concert. I mean, the guy's a grapple. You don't go to a Dylan show to hear a melodic voice. It's a spirit. It's the feeling. It's the who he is. And that's what he's putting out there. He has something to say, right? And so I do love Bob Dylan once said, for example, every song he ever wrote was to be played by Jimi Hendrix. Who could play it better? That's how self-aware Bob Dylan was that there was a better musician in the world to perform his songs. It was Hendrix. And so I really appreciate that because I think that that is awareness. And one of the top recruiting agencies describes it as this, and I thought this was really astute for our listeners. Emotional awareness is the ability to understand your own emotions and their effect on your performance. You know what you are feeling and why, and how it helps or hurts what you're trying to do. You sense how others see you, and so you align your self-image with a larger reality. And I think that that is the thing with recruiting all the years I've done, executive coaching. Someone will take a job and then they will say, I had a sense. And it breaks my heart because a lot of times as a recruiter, as a coach, you have to be supportive at some point when you know in a way that this is not going to end well. And so what happens is like, I don't know. Especially when our gut instincts are usually right. Yeah, they rubbed me the wrong way at first, but they came around. I really kind of like them on the second round or the interview. And that's true for interviewing, if you're the interviewer or the interviewee. Mm. Your gut instinct is probably right. Whatever it is, it is. Now, I had plenty of friends when I first met them. I was like, I don't like this guy or this woman. But women are better. So it's usually a guy. But in general, my gut instinct, your gut, what you feel is right. My former CEO said to someone one time, it made her cry, like hysterically cry. And she said, that's just, you're so cruel. You're cruel. You are a hurtful, cruel person. And I said, no, you're too sensitive. And she goes, but this is how I feel. And she goes, your feelings aren't real. They're just your feelings. And she called me in hysterics and she's sobbing. And she says, Brandon, she's right. This is so ridiculous. It's just because I'm too sensitive. My feelings aren't real. And I said, what are more real than your feelings? It's how you feel. No one is entitled to tell you that the way you feel is not how you should feel. You feel exactly how you feel, period. And I think we don't trust ourselves. We don't listen to our intuition, whether that is in relationships or whether that is in jobs. And the more we listen to our intuition, the more we can decipher out the harmful people and the more we can let in the people who are there to help us. Now, does that mean you shouldn't have courage or fortitude, resilience? Of course not. But being self-aware helps you block out, to your point, Jennifer, those negative voices. We talked about this earlier today too, that I think sometimes people give us really harsh feedback. And being confident and self-aware allows you to say, you're an asshole. You're not a nice person. But there might be a kernel of truth in what you said that I can pull out and be better. And I think about you because one of the first stories you ever told me is some version of that story. And I realized today, like, you always tell that story and I think I feel like it's a hero journey. But I've never realized, like, the person who was kind of mean to you, like, years ago is, like, you know, the story of telling you you weren't the nicest person. They're not a very nice person either. You know, they weren't being very nice. That did, but you took the kernel and you said, that's the impact I'm having on others. And I'm going to change my entire life. And I tell that story about you to thousands of people because you're my hero.
Aw, thank you, Brandon. And I think it's important to realize, though, without vilifying anybody, I believe from a higher standpoint, we might not be able to understand, but sometimes it's those people who are the biggest jerks, right? The a-holes who are in our office or whoever they might be in your life, that they may tell us something that's uncomfortable, and it may be true and it may not be true. The point isn't for us to worry about whether or not it's true or how much it's true. Yes, we can definitely get curious. The opportunity for our growth is to ask ourselves, what is the reason for this? Is this showing up in my life to show me, to your point earlier, Brandon, maybe my boundaries are too porous and I let my bosses walk all over me? Or conversely, maybe it's about the fact that, you know, it's not the right environment for you. And the, you know, the job hunting gods are telling you to, it's time to move on. How often do we stay too long in a job or in a relationship because we're trying to prove something? So the more we begin to understand ourselves, a friend of mine who I love and adore was just explaining to me different types of trauma the other day. And there was freeze, fawn, flight, and fight were the four types that she was explaining to me. And I think this is important for us to understand too, as people who are up to having our dream jobs. And what she explained is, like, if you took somebody whose initial reaction to being traumatized, maybe your boss is yelling at you in an office, you can't expect that person. And this is important to go back to the self-awareness. You can't expect yourself to go from being a freezer, somebody who freezes when they're terrified or traumatized by perhaps a boss yelling at them, to being somebody who fights back. If your natural inclination is to freeze, then small approximations, baby steps, getting you more comfortable with confrontation and telling, to your point earlier, Brandon, what is acceptable and what's not acceptable. One of the reasons I think that we suffer in business is we're not clear on what our own boundaries are. Unless we get clarity and we tell people, I am willing to tolerate this or I'm not willing to tolerate this. And then when the person gives you something that you're not willing to tolerate, you don't have to be a jerk about it yourself, but you do get to go through a process of clarification. Hey, Brandon, remember the other day when you said I was being a jerk? You know, that what happened when you said that is that had me kind of get insecure about my work and then I wasn't able to perform the rest of the week. So what I would love, Brandon, what I would need more of is if you could first start off by giving me some constructive feedback. Instead of just saying, hey, you're being a jerk, say, hey, I noticed that you raised your voice and you were kind of yelling at another employee. You know, what do you need in order to be supported with that? So there's two pieces to the puzzle here. There's self-awareness as the employee, as somebody who's in a job or a job interview, and there's self-awareness on the part of the management team of them having the self-awareness of how do you communicate with somebody in a loving way that doesn't create greater shame or distance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. Expand on the greater shame or distance. What do you mean by that?
So imagine if I give you feedback, Brandon. This is the most important concept that somebody ever taught me. Is the person available to receive what you are about to tell them? If I'm giving you feedback as a friend, as a colleague, as whatever it might be, if you're not available to receive it, let's say, Brandon, that you're already having a crappy day, that we hop on a call together, we're doing a Zoom meeting, we're colleagues, and you say, you know what, Jen, it's been a really tough week. You know, I had things happen with my daughter and this and that. If I then try to come at you with more feedback about what you're doing wrong or what's not working or missing, then what's going to happen is that's going to create greater disharmony in our relationship. So part of self-awareness is having that consciousness and awareness of, is the person available to receive what I'm about to say? Versus if we start a conversation, Brandon, and I have to give you some feedback that might be uncomfortable, and we start a conversation, yeah. You say, oh, Jay Hill, it's been the best week ever. This happened and that happened. I'd be like, awesome. You know, I have something I want to talk to you about. Is this a good time? And then you might be in a more receptive state rather than spiraling into shame, grief, or judgment.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. And I think this is why coaching works and why leaders who are the best leaders in the world and employees who are the best employees in the world have the same technique of mirroring back. And I think one of the tips that you can use, one of the tricks, I know this, but forget, I know the most powerful thing you can do when someone says something to you that you want them to remember, you can repeat what they say and say, what I'm hearing you say is X. My understanding is Y. And so often what people do is they put up that barrier and say, that's your opinion. And I love to take that and go, this is your opinion. This is what you believe. It doesn't matter what I believe. I'm irrelevant in this conversation. It's really helped me with my sister over the years who won't listen to me. And I just start mirroring back her words. And she goes, that's a really good point. I'm like, yeah, they were your words. I was at my worst. I beat myself up and I'm nothing and I'm worthless and all the things I can do to myself that a lot of people, I think, can do to themselves. And I remember I had a really bad I had a client just treating me horribly, just absolutely horrible. I couldn't believe it. She was a friend and I couldn't believe she was treating me this way. And I called another client who I'd worked with for years, CEO. And they said, Brandon, you know, this affects you, but it's probably not about you. And I said, that is yes. Yes. That's what I need to hear. Thank you. You're a genius. And she goes, Brandon, you've said that to me like 12 times over the course of 7 years. That's your motto, not mine. And I'm not applying, right? I'm not self-aware enough to apply. And once I did that, I was like, oh my God, this woman's team is leaving her. She's scared. She's worried, right? I was able to take myself out of it and recognize what she was doing. But what happens when we don't do that is it negatively impacts everything. So much so that I was telling a client I wasn't good at what I did, right? One client made me feel that I wasn't good at serving 12 other clients. And we do this in our job. One boss tells you you're bad, but then you show up for the rest of your career as believing that boss. It affects you, but it's not about you. It affects you, but it's not about you. If you need that mantra, repeat it. I saw this and I love this. When you lack self-awareness, you fail to identify what you're feeling and how it manifests itself in your daily actions. As a result, you tend to experience more negative emotions because you don't know how to better align your choices with what you want. I cannot tell you, forget that quote because it's a little confusing. What I think is important there is this. If you lack self-awareness and you don't know what you want, if you lack self-awareness, you don't know what you want. And I think that certainly resonates for me. Whenever you do a career pivot, is because something happened, a lightning bolt happened to create self-awareness. Now, last thing. If you're working for a boss that lacks self-awareness, I know this is terrible to say, but I do not think you can ever truly be happy under that boss. I've worked for a few of those people. And what they do is the more you bring to their awareness a behavior pattern that is harming you and others, the more they dial in on their behavior and the more they may cause harm to you. To Jennifer's point, right, Jennifer? That's your whole point. If they're not, and that's what's dangerous about the power dynamics. If they're not, and I don't know if you've seen this, but if they're not ready to receive, to your earlier point, then they'll cause harm. Have you ever seen that?
Absolutely. I've seen it in my own career. I've seen it with other people's careers who I've coached over the years. And I think it's a very valid point. It all ties back into, is the person available to receive it? Because I've also seen on the converse side of that, Brandon, that sometimes, just much like I was a jerk, you know, early on in my career, and somebody, as much as it may seem mean or not nice or unkind, the kindest thing that you can do for someone is to be authentically loving with them about something that they might not be aware of. Had that person years ago not told me that she thought I was a nasty thing, it was in my blind spot. I had no idea. I was walking around in life and thought that I was, my poop didn't stink, so to speak. And so that opened a portal way and a door for me then to be an inquiry for the rest of my life of how is this behavior impacting people? Am I making the difference that I want to make in the world? And, you know, sometimes we can just go unconscious in our jobs and some of us don't even care. And I'm not saying that you should care one way or another, but what I am saying is, if you want to have happiness, longevity, success, sustainability in any field that you choose, and be able to pick and choose whatever career you want, when you become accountable, when you become self-aware, and when you bring conscious awareness to your interactions with other people, can they receive? Am I taking this personally? And to Brandon's point, is there an underlying emotion? You know, when we're looking for that external validation, what if instead we turned it internal? Instead of looking for our boss's approval or our colleagues to give us a nod on a piece of work, which Dr. Paul White will get into more next week, what if we learned how to appreciate ourselves? What if, you know, somebody recently taught me something. I had a limited belief that I didn't realize from childhood that I had to do things to be loved. So if I'm not producing or doing things, granted, that led me to much success in my earlier career as a recruiter, then I didn't feel like I was being loved. However, that was causing me mental, physiological harm and psychological harm because I felt like I always had to be doing to be loved. So the moment I identified that belief, I noticed that there was a limited way of thinking that I was believing. And then I observed it and I looked at it. And this is a cool thing about bringing up our emotional intelligence. It's like you find a pebble in your shoe and you have to go, oh, is that why my foot was hurting? Oh, here's the pebble that was sticking in my shoe for the last 20 miles I've been walking. And then you get to get curious about it and not with judgment.
I love that curiosity, right? And I think that there's two things I want to read right here. But one thing that I found that I thought was so important was, so what you're talking about, Jennifer, and this is why you're a leader, is growth mindset. Growth mindset is linked to uncomfortability. Uncomfortability is our friend. Pain is not, as I like to say. It's enduring. And I think this is so important because most narcissists generally lack self-awareness. I just love this. It's their sense of self-esteem and self-worth depends on how others perceive them, and they tend to deny flaws in themselves and blame others for their own shortcomings, mistakes, and misfortunes. That is so – God, that explains a lot of people I've met in my life and why they're so bad for me. They're so – a narcissist or even a personality disorder sometimes has the same effect. I joke around that I have a friend who has a personality disorder, and they can't apologize for anything, and I apologize for everything. It is a bad combination. Now, part of that's my Jewish guilt, but part of it is just my wife has Catholic guilt, so I don't know. We both, between the two of us, are apologizing for everything under the sun. And I think that, like, that's problematic. It's not – I shouldn't apologize for everything. The world's not about me. It's my own form of narcissism. To think that someone in front of me is having a bad day because maybe I bumped into them is silly. I got this from a client. I'll just call her C, but she knows who she is, and I'll tell her to listen to this episode. But this is a young woman I coached when she was about 28, 29, met at a youth retreat, and then we worked together. And she's one of the most badass, awesome leaders. And she sent this to me, and it's just so perfect timing. I'll tell you why I asked her for it. I have been in a spiral funk for 2 months almost since someone that I've known for most of my life was like, I don't understand what you do. And I couldn't describe it to her. And then I tell this to my clients, and they're like, Brandon, you've helped me achieve my dreams. You've transformed our organization. Why do you think I pay you this money? And I'm like, well, can you put that in writing? And I've had to read 5 to 10 testimonials just to re-remind myself of who I am because of how deep this person, who granted they were like a family member, so they were able to get in there and hit that really soft child in me, you know. But in this endeavor, I've gotten some of the best feedback, and this is my favorite. This is totally, a lot of what we talked about when we were together was that I'm enough. I would read the bios of other people and I would feel so small. You said, F that, be your own special person and find your own path. So me saying I'm enough is a reminder of that. And then she writes every day in her journal, go get today. Boom, you got this, I'm enough. I mean, what if we all did that? What if we just every day, go get this, boom, which for me, that's the Brandonism, is I'm gonna be uncomfortable, I'm gonna grow today. I'm enough. F the bios, and that's the whole thing. She's never gonna understand what I do because she doesn't do anything of what I do, ever. She teaches children. I work with, you know, C-suite, you know, or people over the age of 12, you know, that's the difference. But it doesn't matter the effect, what it did to me, how low it brought me. It's a complete lack of self-awareness on my behalf. Complete lack of self-awareness to understand that this person has this effect on me and others. It is me that is lacking self-awareness. It's not on them. And that is so important for job interviews. Because if you leave a job interview and you feel like, what did I do? Why do I suck? 99% of the time has nothing to do with you. Sometimes it does. A lot of times it's because they already chose the person. They're having a bad day. If you leave in that really devastated feeling. There are things we can do. There are interview tips we can give you. There are many things we can do so you are aware of your weaknesses or your strengths. That is self-awareness. But when someone leaves you feeling that low, 9 times out of 10, it has nothing to do with you. And the more self-aware you are, the less you'll be brought low. And when you're brought low, the problem is you are going to have a negative impact on each other. It's actually, I never thought about this, but that's how you create narcissism in yourself. You let someone's impression of you become so true that you become the center of, that they become the center of the universe, and you become the center of your universe, and then you negatively affect everyone around. That's how dangerous it is to let BS opinions create the nonsense. Now, that being said, my daughter is listening to a song called The Poop Song, and literally for 5 minutes this morning, woke up, instead of saying, boom, I'm enough, wanted me to sit on the sofa while she pointed at me and said, you're poop, you're poop, you're poop. So we've had more poop discussion than we normally do in this podcast, but I think it's pretty funny. Anyway,
that's amazing, Brandon. I think that, you know, the thing that can help us with self-awareness is various exercises just to bring the awareness back to ourselves. And it's funny, I was reading more of an energy related thing that was saying the energy of this month in particular, the month of August, is tied more into blame. Like this month, we're going to have a lot of opportunities to overcome our desire of wanting to blame others. And so an invitation that I would love to extend to you out there, whether you're listening to the show in August of 2021 or at a later date, is to create a journal. You could do it on your notes section of your phone. You could do it, on paper, whatever you like to do. And every night before you go to bed, practice self-awareness. Take 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 minute, whatever you have time for, and ask yourself, how could I have lived today better? How could I have lived today better? Not from a judgment standpoint, but maybe were you rude to somebody? Were you narcissistic? Did you not listen to somebody? I know I've personally been, somebody who's done that where somebody will be talking to me and I'm doing 12 other things and I'm not listening. And then one day I had one of my best friends who I'd done that to. And she said, Jen, I didn't feel heard. I didn't feel honored. I didn't feel loved. That's not who I know you to be. And then I made a commitment from that day going forward that if I was going to be on a call with somebody, that I was going to be present with that person and give them what they needed. Now, this only happens when you bring that self-awareness. So you reflect, and every night you just kind of say, hey, how could I have lived today better? Was I fully present with people? Did I get angry? You could even write down, what were your emotions throughout the day? Did you feel angry, sad, happy, distressed? And just begin to observe them with non-attachment. And then right after you're done with that, write down a couple things you're proud of yourself for, especially the things that nobody will ever even know you did. You know those things where maybe there was a piece of chocolate cake in the fridge and you had 4 bites of it and you left the 5th bite or you threw it away? Or maybe there was a coworker who was reaming you and you really wanted to ream them back, but instead you just paused and you graciously accepted it and said thank you. You know, writing those things down and acknowledging yourself brings a beautiful balance to it. And the final thing is just bring gratitude. I think gratitude, when we bring gratitude to our life, list 1 or 2 things. Hey, the interview I went on went well. You know, I accomplished that project. Yesterday, I felt like a kick butt person because I had been on vacation for a couple of weeks. And you know how you get back from vacation and you have 100 things to catch up on? And I sat down and by the end of the day yesterday, I was like, wow, I actually accomplished every single thing I intended to do to get caught up with all my work. And nobody else would have known that, but I really wanted to acknowledge myself and say, you know, good job. I'm so proud of you. If nobody else, even if you say to yourself, I am proud of you, Brandon Maslin, and you look at yourself in the mirror, you just kind of go internal and reflect. All of these things are things that you can do so that way when you go out into the world, you're not trying to take energy and approval and validation from your colleagues, from the interviewer or whomever it might be.
I love it. I love it. And I think that's that is 100% true and something that most people I know struggle with that. That internal validation. You know, it's something that we struggle or we seek that. And such a beautiful point you make. And most neuroscience shows that if you want to interview well, if you want to present well, if you want to level up in your life and your career, you need to do the Jennifer Hill tactics, which is you need to remind yourself of the unique and specific things that you do, even on a micro level. Because when you get into these very important situations, whether that's the interview or presentation, your confidence will go up, your cortisol will go down. And I think that that is the awareness that so many of the best performers and athletes and leaders have, right? I have a lot of books behind me on Churchill. And one thing Churchill was very good at was believing in Churchill. He was also very aware that he had a negative impact on everyone. But he wasn't a narcissist in that regard. He believed in Churchill more than almost anything. But he was aware of how he affected other people. So much so that he did it because he thought that's what was best. Now, that's a version of where you can use it if you are a narcissist, which is okay. That's where you can use narcissism for good. You know, you can say, I'm just trying to move us forward. I think a lot of narcissists do that. Right? No one's the villain of their story, as they say, right? That's just like one of my favorite quotes. No one is, if ever you meet anyone and you think they're terrible and they're awful, there's a modicum, you know, there's other things they do that might be heroic. I'll never forget, I was a young lawyer to that point. I was once in a deposition for a family law case. And this older guy, must have been 65, 70, was just a jerk. And there was a young woman, I was on my side, it was a custody thing. And he's fighting tooth and nail and he won't say yes to anything. And I'm like, can I just talk to you in the hallway? Because my client's hysterical. And her child is like in the other room and she hears his mother crying. And I'm just like, this has to stop. So I pull him out and I go, can you stop? Like, you need to stop this because it's not, you're now crossing the line into, I think, abuse. And he goes, how dare you? And he said, but let me tell you something. You probably think I'm a jerk in there, right? Well, when I go home, I'm a teddy bear. I am not an a-hole. And I go, I doubt that. Because if you're an a-hole in there, you're probably a little bit of an a-hole at home. Maybe try to be kinder in there. And let's see if you're not kinder at home. And I like walked away. I was just so angry. I didn't care. And he walks in, he sits down and he's fuming. You can see the look on his face. It's just, how dare this 20-something-year-old lawyer tell me how to practice law? But he immediately upon composing himself, went, all right, so what we're going to do, we're just going to move forward. And he walks out and goes, you're right. I don't need to be. And he just said, you're right. That's it. As I recall it, he wasn't going to give me any credit. He was like, you're fucking right. And he left. Of course, I'm on this episode. We'll put a disclaimer. But I love that story, right? That is the ultimate self-awareness on his part, not mine. Yeah. That guy, in a weird way, is my hero. I learned more from him that day, I promise you, than he learned from me. I learned that you can pivot on a dime, that you can become aware in a moment. He didn't give up anything that he shouldn't have. He just was putting on a show for his client. But the point is, we have to be aware of how we affect others. We have to be aware of how we show up in the world. And if we're bad to one person, guess what? It's not going to make us feel good, and that poisons us. The more good we do in the world, the more good we get, and the more good we can give. And I think this is my final point. I used to say to myself all the horrible things, and I believed all the bad that anyone ever said about me, and none of the good. All the bad, none of the good. And I convinced myself that that was how I was going to get better in life. What I was not aware was by doing that, I was causing harm to so many people who loved me and cared about me, because I was angry and I was upset and I was depressed and I was sad. Even my wife today, I was like, yeah, I woke up kind of sad. She's like, yeah, every day for the last month and a half. I can't do that anymore to her, right? I can't. I won't do that at a job. I can't do it to my clients. We owe it to ourselves to be kinder, more compassionate, but just be aware of who we are and what good we do in the world, and see if you don't do good around you in every environment, especially in your career, but probably in your life too. My speech.
That was beautiful, Brandon. I'm mic drop. I don't know where to go from here. That was so poignant. I really deeply, deeply appreciate that. You make me think of a meditation that I've been doing. I was struggling myself. I've had many opportunities for growth, shall we call them. And there was one day in particular, I was in Paris probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I remember sitting there and I was just beside myself. I was struggling with being a human being. And I found this 4-minute meditation on Insight Timer. And I'll see if I can find it and tell you guys what it's called. But what it was is the woman says, I'm having a hard time right now. Everyone feels this way sometimes. May I be kind to myself in this moment? May I give myself the compassion that I need? And every time that I've done that meditation since then, to anybody out there, I cry, because honestly, it's a cry-worthy meditation here. I just found it. It's called 5 Minutes of Self-Compassion by Lisa Abramson. And I love just saying that out loud.
Can we add a link in the show notes to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's just, you say out loud, but even just saying that, I'm having a hard time right now. Like, I tear up even saying that right now, because how many of us, we don't even know what somebody else is going through. We don't know who's having a hard time right now. One of my favorite movies of all time was the movie Crash, where you kind of see this crash that happens and you judge the characters. And it turns out the police officer, who's the biggest jerk to everybody in the movie, goes home, and when you pull back the curtain to his life, you see that he's caring for a disabled mother. And I say that because there was a download I got, like a kind of a thought that I had in a meditation lately, which is to trust that everyone is doing the best they can. That's it. Just trust. Trust that everyone is doing the best they can in that moment, and that everyone also includes you. And I think that that's, if nothing else, that you take away with the wonderful wisdom that Brandon shared and many of the exercises that we've given to you, and, you know, give yourself permission that some days you might feel sad, some days you might feel happy, some days you might feel frustrated or bitter, and to allow yourself to be in all those places, and to the best of your ability to not get it all over other people. Because I think that's where the real magic can happen. Because we can be feeling sad, angry, upset, etc. But for me, at least, when I'm at my worst, I don't want to emotionally vomit all over other people. So the question is, how can you do the work to keep it in your space and to bring that self-awareness so that if you do have to show up to a Zoom meeting and maybe you're really going through a crisis, number one, either you choose not to be on the meeting. That's boundaries, having a healthy boundary. Or number two, if it's unavoidable, inadvertent, you have to be there. Then choose to be there, but do the work before the meeting to make sure that you're taken care of so you don't get your mess on other people, because it's yours. You get to have as much mess as you want in your space. And the goal is just not to get it on other people as we go about being human beings, right?
Can I add one thing there to that that idea, which is I think it's also okay that to say, if I'm not okay, to let other people know you're not okay. If you show up at a job interview and you're sick, maybe, you know, or a Zoom call and you're sick, right? Maybe admit that you have a Zoom call. This is so common where people are making judgments on you when you're not at your best. let them know, hey, today I'm not at my best. My kid didn't sleep last night. My mother's sick. Or I'm, you know, for me, it was I had gotten a COVID shot and someone was like, you were really out of it. Like, why you didn't get it? I was like, no, just I didn't know the COVID shot affected me. I'll leave you with this interview tip that I was at a friend's house and it was the first job I ever got in LA after being a lawyer. And it was they wanted you to record a message. It was actually to be a recruiter. They wanted you to record a message and I left it. And I was listening to things in the background. I heard something crash and I was worried about them and I was in my head and I left a message and it was fine. It was fine. It would probably be good enough to get me a job, but I don't think so. I know what got me that job. I called back and left a second message. And I said, I didn't like how the way that went. I'm going to do this again. And I'm going to leave you another message because I think I can do better. And I left a second message. And when they hired me, they said, your second one was better. Yeah. But that's not why we're giving you the job. We're giving you a job because no one has ever called back twice. No one had ever said to themselves, that wasn't as good as I can be. I think I can do better. That's life. That's self-awareness. If you're having a bad day, acknowledge it. And you know what? Sometimes you're having a bad day. You're having a bad day. And you know what? You'll get them tomorrow. You'll get them tomorrow, y'all. If you don't get them today, you'll get them tomorrow.
I love that, Brandon. I don't think I've ever heard you share that story before. What a wonderful way to close out today's episode. So thank you so much to each of you tuning in out there, whenever, wherever you're tuning in from. You know, give yourself permission to do the best that you can and to be a human being and to feel however you're feeling. And remember, as Don Miguel Ruiz says, it's not personal. So feel free to check us out. We would love to have you follow us. You can find us on Facebook under Get Yourself the Job. You can find us on iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, many different ways that you can check in with the show. Or if you want to watch the video, you can find it on LA Talk Radio's Facebook page every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And we're just so grateful that you were able to join with us here and to listen and tune in. So wishing everybody a wonderful rest of your week, and may you have the strength to face whatever comes your way.
Listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.